Fan on Demand. Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. And today, I am coming to you from Dallas, Texas, the site of UFC 171. On Saturday night, at the American Airlines Center, a new champion will be crowned in the UFC's welterweight division, one that was run by George St. Pierre for over 2,000 days. It goes back a very long time where GSP was the champ, but on Saturday night, somebody new will wear that belt and allow it to be Johnny Hendricks or Robbie Lawler, who we will hear from a little bit later on in the show. We'll also hear from the two guys in the co-main event for UFC 171, Carlos Condit and Tyron Woodley. We'll hear from UFC President Dana White on a variety of topics in his sort of State of the Union address. We'll also hear from Jake Shields and Hector Lombard, two other welterweights that are on this card that many people are smart enough to pay close attention to as two guys that could jump in to that title mix with a spectacular performance and or a victory on Saturday night. And we'll also hear from Diego Sanchez, the first time he'll be competing since that epic, perhaps fight of the year, fight of the century, fight, greatest fight of all time versus Gilbert Melendez, as he's taken on Miles Fury Jury, who we'll also hear from, as I had a chance to catch up with all of these gentlemen for their thoughts on a variety of issues, not just on their bouts, but just everything surrounding George St. Pierre, UFC 171, and things from the mixed martial arts world. Let's kick things off with UFC President Dana White in a personal one-on-one conversation I had with him, and in essence, talking about UFC 171 and a typical State of the Union address from the UFC president.
Dana, a bit more jovial today, as opposed to, I think the last time I saw you were, I guess so many things were dominoing in your life that were causing crazy havoc, but you're happier today. UFC 171 is upon us. What's going on?
Yeah, no. I have my good days and my bad days. I guess today is a good day. I'm excited for this card. Great card, stacked top to bottom. And somebody's going to win George's 170-pound title.
That's Dana's way of taking a shot at a Canadian right now. I hope you guys know that. But at the same time, hold on a second. Johnny Hendricks, you said he makes people skid across the octagon. Robbie Lawler's been knocking people out forever. How does this one unfold?
Wait, how was I taking a shot at a Canadian?
Well, it's George St. Pierre's belt.
Yeah. It's George St. Pierre's belt, isn't it?
You're backtracking.
Huh?
You're backtracking right now.
How am I backtracking?
That was a shot at me. Come on.
That wasn't a shot at you. Why was it a shot at you?
Joking. Go ahead.
Why would I take a shot at you? Would you ask? Oh, how hard they hit? Yeah, it's going to be a gunfight. These guys are both heavy hitters, man. They got great takedown defense, and I think this thing's going to be, there's going to be bombs dropping.
Do you think it goes 25 minutes?
You know, I didn't know if Hendricks St. Pierre would, but it did. So who knows? I think that anything's possible, but highly unlikely.
Carlos Condit, Tyron Woodley. Carlos Condit, many people believe, should have been in this title fight. And you got Tyron Woodley, who's been tearing through the competition. This makes for an exceptional co-main event on this card here. But at the same time, do both guys with a win get to that title shot? Or is it just going to be Carlos Condit if he emerges victorious?
We'll see what happens. You know, there's a lot of good welterweights on this card on Saturday night. So we'll see how this thing plays out. I don't like making fights before a fight even happens.
People are forgetting the fact that Jake Shields and Hector Lombard is a serious fight at 170 pounds. And people are already saying Hector Lombard is going to destroy Jake Shields without looking back at his history and realizing every time he fights someone that's supposed to knock him out, doesn't happen. Your thoughts?
Yep. Everybody says that. Every time he goes in against a striker with knockout power, they talk about how he's going to get knocked out. And this kid never gets knocked out. He's got a very good style. He's very good at not getting hit hard and not getting knocked out. And obviously the kid's got a great chin too. This will be the real test. I mean, he's fought some guys who can hit hard, but Hector Lombard crushes people. So we'll see how it goes.
Alexander Gustafsson did his part in the two-part series of A, win your fight. Johnny wins his fight. We get that rematch. But then Johnny played matchmaker and said Alexander should take on DC. You see stuff like that. What goes through your mind?
Well, he's not the matchmaker. And the thing that frustrates me about when John Jones does stuff like that is it makes it look like he doesn't want to fight those guys. When you're the champ, I mean, all these guys are coming after you anyway. And yeah, there's some nasty people out there. I mean, Alexander Gustafsson is unbelievable, and Cormier looks great at 205, so it's going to be a fun year.
You take a look at what Alexander's done overseas in Europe. You also got to look at a guy like Gunnar Nelson, who's undefeated at 170 pounds, with Conor McGregor outside of the octagon losing his marbles when Gunny was fighting. Those two guys have to be on the Ireland card, do you not think?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, Conor McGregor's injured coming back from a knee injury. We'll see how that goes. And then, you know, Gunnar Nelson is a guy who's so fun and exciting, and he looked unbelievable in that fight. He could fight anywhere. You know, he could fight in Ireland. He could fight here in the States. You know, we'd put him anywhere.
Right after I watched the Ultimate Fighter Brazil 3 debut episode, the first thing that went through my mind is, you know, my family comes from overseas, and I understand different cultures globally around the world. And of course, when they brought on the two female stars, the basketball and the volleyball star, that makes sense to Brazil. It may not make sense in North America, but do you find it difficult with some of the fan base in North America that are ripping that type of idea from the production company down there? When
doesn't matter what the Americans think, the show isn't for the Americans, it's for the Brazilians. Sure, they can watch it if they want to lose your mind because there's two female stars on there. You're a little weird.
And of course, in closing, the Ultimate Fighter is global. It's going to continue to go global. What message do you have, like you said, to these fans that are losing their mind because they don't understand that culture and what appeals to those viewers locally?
Right. Well, I mean, that's what's going on right now, is we're starting to localize this thing. We're going into you know, we just went into Canada. We're going into Mexico. We were in China. Now we're doing fights in real time in these countries like England and Germany. You know, things are changing. The sport's growing. It's getting bigger. There's going to be nights where we have two fights on the same night, one from Germany, one from Brazil. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be crazy. You know, a lot of people were talking about, oh, there's too many fights. Yeah, maybe there's too many fights in North America. And if there's too many fights in North America for you, only watch four. Only watch six. You know, watch whatever you want to watch. But in the rest of the world, they're starving for this product. In prime time, exactly. And there's a huge opportunity to grow the market there in prime time on big television stations and doing, you know, all the things that we do. Fight Pass, you know. Here in North America, there was a ton of heat on Fight Pass. Guess what? The world is a very big place. The rest of the world, Fight Pass is on fire, and it couldn't be bigger, and it's definitely the future for this company.
You're saying there's countries outside of North America on the globe?
Apparently there are.
Ronda Rousey, where is she on your to-do list in terms of getting a fight for her and finding out when? Is it still somewhere up the top, or just let it go, let her relax, let her have a vacation?
She went on vacation and relaxed a little while, and now she's filming a movie, and she's going to have a summer, and, you know, we'll go from there.
As always, thank you very much for your time.
All right, brother. Thank you.
There you have it. UFC President Dana White giving us his thoughts on a variety of issues and, you know, the whole Ronda Rousey thing. Hopefully, Cyborg Santos is brought into the mix. That's a story for another day, and you can check that out on UFC Central, the television side, as we've asked every one of the fighters that you've seen on Sportsnet.ca as well as on Sportsnet 360, as we had chances to speak with a variety of all of them about the probability of this match actually taking place. Stay tuned, as we'll have a feature put together on a potential fight between Ronda Rousey and Christian Cyborg Santos. Now, Dana White is also in the business of building mixed martial arts superstars. He's done it so many times with the likes of Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, and all these guys accepted the fact that they need to put the work in together, the Anderson Silvas, the George St. Pierre's. But the whole thing about being a promoter in mixed martial arts is paying close attention to guys that can one day become superstars. And one of those guys that some people are talking about right now is Miles Jury. And Miles Jury, undefeated in the UFC's lightweight division, is taking on a absolute superstar, the original Ultimate Fighter, not Forrest Griffin, Diego Sanchez, who was the very first person to win the Ultimate Fighter contract. Miles Jury taking on the Dream, Diego Sanchez, later on Saturday night on the main card. But check it out. I had a chance to catch up with Miles Jury to get his thoughts on taking on who's soon becoming a potential UFC Hall of Famer and an epic star in the world of mixed martial arts.
Well, Miles, most people don't want to fight Diego Sanchez. You're actually encouraged by the fact that you get to step into the cage with a guy that, you know, had a fight of the year performance against Gilbert Melendez. I mean, your thoughts on stepping in there with the Dream?
I like it, man. I'm in the sport for that reason, you know, to get big fights and to keep working my way up. And it's just an awesome fight, you know, a fight that I have nothing to lose in, and a fight that I can just go out there and fight against one of the, you know, the guys that's been around for a while and been for the title shot and all that. So it's just a great step up for me.
Can you talk about the road that you traveled to get here, especially during that period when you had to stay at a guy like Jeremy Stephens' house where you had nothing, to where you are right now and potentially what's going to happen in the future with a victory over Diego?
Yeah, definitely, man. It's been a tough road, a lot of ups and downs, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's my story. It's my road, so it's been awesome. You know, I've had a lot of good times, you know, and I've had a lot of bad times, but in the end, it's been such a great adventure, and I just can't wait to get out there and do the same thing Saturday.
What's your take on the mixed martial arts fan base and media when people are finally saying, hey, you know what, Michael Johnson emerges victorious on Saturday night, but you got to give credit to a guy like Miles Jury, who's undefeated and quietly rising the ranks. Are you ready for the big noise that could be happening with the Fury soon?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, man. It's like I don't really get too caught up too much in what people say. You know, throughout my career, people have always either said, you know, good things or bad things. So I don't really have any control over that. But, I'm just taking it as it comes, man. It's this is something I'm learning too as I'm going. But I'm definitely, man, I've been working in the gym and all this effort, dedication I've been putting in my whole life, there's no reason why I'm not ready for it.
I could get into the whole Fury Jiu-Jitsu thing, but we'll talk about the final fight, or the set on Saturday night, your perfect fight versus a guy like Diego Sanchez, because anytime he competes, you know it's technically going to be a fight of the night. But what are you looking for on Saturday night? What is your perfect fight?
My perfect fight with Diego Sanchez is just dominating him and getting a big W.
Dominating Diego Sanchez, looking forward to that. And, of course, you'll be back in the Great White North in Canada very, very soon. You got a seminar coming up just north of Toronto.
Absolutely, yep. Got a jiu-jitsu seminar coming up at Fitness Kickboxing Canada, April 5th and 6th. That 5th will be at Pride Martial Arts in New York. So it's just a great opportunity for me to give back and to teach. Man, I love teaching. That's my side passion. So, check it out if anybody's in the area.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, man.
There you have it, Miles Jury, the undefeated lightweight in the UFC's 155-pound weight class. And let's waste no time. Let's get right to his opponent, the dream, Diego Sanchez.
Diego, the last time I saw you was at Epic Scrap with Gilbert Melendez, and then, you know, you're smiling ear to ear, although you were busted up. Are you done having those fights, or is that just you? You want to keep having them to prove that, you know what, this is what I do, and the shirt might say everything?
And the shirt does say everything. I feel I was put on this planet to do what I do. But I learned a lot in the Gilbert Melendez fight. I think out of all my fights, I've always learned and always take something home with me. But in that war with Gil, I learned a lot about striking and how if I want to be a champion in this sport, I have to be an elite top-level kickboxer. So, you know, I've gone back to the drawing board, and I realized some of the mistakes I made in the Gilbert Melendez fight. You know, I have some of the best coaches in the game, and, you know, we went to work, and we're filling out the holes in my game, and I really feel like this year I'm going to show a real, true, complete fighter version of you know, the dream. You know, I'm going after the belt.
And I'm sorry to play off the DNA, but in your DNA, you have that, you just want to bite down on the mouthpiece and let's do this. How do you prevent yourself from doing that when you're in a situation when it becomes a scrap?
You know, it's a matter of technique, and the way that you do that is you have to expand your adversity as a mixed martial artist. You have to, you know, I have to have more strikes, I have to learn more. Not only do I have to learn more strikes, I have to develop the muscle memory, which it takes 3,000 reps for a muscle memory to be developed, and so it's all about repetition. So if I'm going to throw this kick and I know how to throw that kick, I got to do it 3,000 times before it becomes perfected. So now in this stage of my career, that's what I'm doing. I'm working on diversifying my striking to a whole nother level. You know, I've been in this sport. I've had shines, glimpses of my greatness. There's been moments, and there's also been fights where, you know, my striking was crisper than others, and I've had good moments. And so now I'm trying to put it all together. I put the time in my wrestling. I put the time in my striking. My grappling is there, and I feel like I'm really a truly complete fighter at 32 years old. It took that time and that experience to really become this complete fighter. It took all the mess ups, all the mistakes to get to where I am at now. And that's why I think you see some of the greats like Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture, Vitor Belfort, Anderson Silva, Dan Henderson, some of these greats that you see out there, you don't see them really truly being greats till they're about my age, about 32.
I still don't believe you're 32 because I still remember the 24-year-old when we first met. But at the same time, Miles Jury, Saturday night, after coming off that fight with Gilbert Melendez, the talk was, hey, you know what, Diego Sanchez is back up there in the top 10 or at least top 15, and maybe you should be talking about a title. But then they offer you Miles Jury, an up-and-comer. Was it difficult to accept the fight, or was it simply, you know what, no, let's get back in there and prove, I'll move up to the title?
Well, you know, they offered me two fights. They offered me George Masvidal, and they also offered me Miles. And I chose to go with Miles for the reason that, yeah, you know, he's undefeated. He has he's 4-0 in UFC. But the real true reason I picked Miles is because he's a hard worker. And that's where his results and that's where his victories, they all come from hard work. I analyzed him. I analyzed his strengths. I analyzed his weaknesses. And yes, he is he's okay in the striking area. He's good in his grappling. He's okay in his wrestling. And he's still getting better. He's at that age where he's still getting better. But the thing is, he's a hard worker, and he's diligent in his hard work. And he believes in himself, and that's why he's able to rise up above guys like Michael Johnson, and he's had some Mike Ricci. And so, you know, the guy has some good notable wins coming off of this. And so I'm like, you know, I want to fight a hard worker because a hard worker is going to bring out the hard worker in me. And, you know, my saying is earn it. So, you know, I know I'm fighting a hard worker, so I never, ever will make the mistake of taking an opponent lightly. And I took him very seriously. I went to work. I put in countless hours. And I did what I have to do to go into this fight completely confident that I'm the best that I've ever been.
Experience has taught all of us who watch mixed martial arts for a long time, and especially those that are in the cage, that anything can happen in a fight. You have to be ready for everything. But if you had a perfect fight on Saturday night versus Miles Jury, what would it be?
A perfect fight with Miles Jury would be me going in there, doing what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the pressure. I'm not going to take a step back because I'm in the best shape of my life, and there's no reason. I don't need to take a step back and rest. I'm the predator. He's the prey. I'm coming forward. He's going back. And the moment that he comes forward and tries to counterattack me, slip, hit, count, stick and move, whatever you call it, I'm going to be right there in his face. And I'm going to be looking for a big knockout, a big takedown, whatever he gives me. Whatever he gives me, but this fight ends. This fight ends with strikes.
There's a rumor that a motorcycle might be on the line in this fight here, or just in general for those competing at UFC 171. And you want that motorcycle pretty bad. Am I correct?
Yes, that's my Harley, and I'm already picking out what color and what design, but that's my Harley. I'm going after it. I'm going to go get it. It's got my name on it. I've already envisioned it. And, yeah, so if you're out there after I get this big victory, vote for me to get the Harley because I want to cruise the Harley.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Here you have it, the dream. Diego Sanchez really wants that motorcycle, and he's virtually a lock to be a guy that could win that bike because he puts on so many exciting fights. And the same can be said for a guy like Hector Lombard, who's basically refound himself in the 170-pound weight class, and it's been wide open since George St. Pierre relinquished that title. And Hector has a great opportunity, if he defeats Jake Shields, to move into a situation where he could be up for a title shot. And I had a chance to catch up with Hector to get his thoughts on a variety of issues.
Hector, the last time you and I saw each other was the stunning victory over Nate Marquardt. Obviously, a lesson learned in that fight. You did a great job knocking him out. But the real question we want to know is, did you get a chance to go back to Australia to see your son afterwards?
Yes, I did. And I actually went to the fights with Ng, and we watched the fights together. So it's pretty good.
Now you got a big fight coming up on Saturday night. Jake Shields, a guy that has a habit of stifling even the best mixed martial artist. So the question for you is, during this training camp, what was that like getting prepared for a guy that has a habit of making it difficult in the octagon?
Yes, it's going to be a tough challenge, but I'm up to it, and I want to face a guy. I want to face a guy that not many fighters want to face. And you know what I'm talking about, but I'm really excited. I can't wait.
This week on the UFC Central television side, we talked about obviously the main event, Johnny Hendricks taking on Robbie Lawler, and then the co-main event, they could be next in line. And I said, hold on, yes, maybe that's what people are talking about, but you have to remember Jake Shields and Hector Lombard. If Hector Lombard wins this fight, you can make a case that you should be right up there in that title fight. How do you look into that? Is that something that just you wait for Dana White and the UFC to tell you, or like, hey, you know what? No, I deserve to be in there with a victory.
It's up to the destiny. I just always leave things to the destiny. You know, I mean, like, never went from my head to leaving America. And now I live here, or Australia. So, you know, things happen so fast they didn't even notice. Sometimes you see guys, they praise about things that didn't happen to them. So it is what it is with me. I just want to fight, and I want to put a great fight on Saturday night. Obviously, I want to knock him out and go from there.
So you took the last question out of my mouth. I was going to ask you, because you're always smiling, you want to get that knockout, but this is a good guy in jiu-jitsu on the ground, really good wrestling.
It's extremely difficult to do it. And if I can pull it up, it's going to be, you know, double assignment for me.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
There you have it, the always smiling Hector Lombard. And people used to always make fun of this guy when he was cutting weight both at 185 and now at 170 pounds. He's got this thing down to a science, and he was smiling ear to ear. Today or tonight, is he smiling? Probably not. Tomorrow? Definitely not, unless he gets it down to 170 early and can get a quick bite to eat. Because like his opponent has said in recent interviews, Jake Shields has said, this guy's a ball of muscle. Now, I had a chance to meet up with Jake Shields after the interview I'm about to play here, and he's feeling great. He's looking good, but he knows. Today is Thursday. Tomorrow, Friday, is weigh-in day. It's not easy for any one of these competitors. And the one thing that I've noticed between both Jake Shields and Hector Lombard is they've been throwing sort of backhanded compliments to one another. In essence, what they're trying to say is, you know, Hector Lombard is basically saying, yeah, Jake Shields is boring, and Jake Shields is saying Hector Lombard is one-dimensional and nobody likes him. So, you know, they're both respectful individuals, but they know that, hey, you know what? I got to get into my opponent's head, and I'll say this, and he'll say that, and stuff like that. But the bottom line is, it's in like just in, like in all mixed martial arts bouts, things change when they step into the cage. That door gets locked, and it's just them and the referee. But it is what it is. Now, Jake Shields is another guy that has fought for that title at 170 pounds. He took on George St. Pierre at UFC 129 at the Rogers Center, over 55,000 people, and made a name for himself going the distance with George St. Pierre. And for many people, that he took at least two of those rounds at minimum, the first time that George St. Pierre had lost two rounds in a very, very long time. Jake wants that title shot as soon as possible and knows a victory over Hector Lombard should get him there, because he's defeated Tyron Woodley, who's in the co-main event, and he recently defeated Damian Maya as well. You beat a guy like Hector Lombard, who's the favorite in this fight, it's hard to disagree that Jake Shields shouldn't be up for a title fight. It remains to be seen what'll happen on Saturday night. But here's my conversation with Jake Shields.
All the talk, for some reason, obviously, is the main event, UFC 171, and the co-main event. But on UFC Central this week, Jake, I said specifically, hold on. I know what Carlos Condit and Tyrone could be doing, but there's Jake Shields and Hector Lombard. You tell me how important this fight is for your career and for the division.
For me, it's a very important fight. I think Hector, you know, this guy's a beast, and it's very important I go out there and win this fight, hopefully in a dominant fashion, and get me back in that title picture.
I'm sure you've read the headlines of how Hector describes your fighting style and stuff like that, but you've been very complimentary leading to this bout. You're generally a very complimentary guy as is. How do you assess his game plan?
I mean, he's got, you know, he's pretty one-dimensional. He comes out there and throws those giant power strikes. So, you know, you go out there and watch the big hook, big overhand left, and just avoid that and take him down and submit him.
The last time I talked to you was when Gilbert fought Sanchez, and we talked about the Damian Maya fight, and the fact that I think people are finally giving some love to Jake Shields about what you do to your opponents. Are you happy that you're seeing that, or are you still seeing all the haters saying, oh, Jake, you're boring, blah, blah, blah?
I honestly don't, like, go read online that much, so I don't really pay attention. The only things I hear is when I do interviews, people tell me things. Other than that, I have no clue what people are saying, so...
How's training camp been preparing for Hector?
Training camp was great. I mean, Hector's obviously a tough guy, so I trained really hard for this fight. It's gone great. I have a great camp behind me, and I can't wait to get out there and fight.
And you know I'm going to ask what the perfect fight is. What is your perfect fight on Saturday night? To send the statement, though, to Dana and to Joe Silva, to say, hey, you know what? Put me in that title fight.
Perfect fight would be go out there, take down Hector, and tap him out first round. So Hector's never been finished, and I'd love to be the first guy to go out and do it.
Thank you very much for your time.
Cool. Thank you.
So there you have it. Jake Shields talking about wanting to finish Hector Lombard. Hector Lombard saying he's looking for some double excitement to take out Jake Shields. We'll see what happens on Saturday night. You got to get these two guys to step into the cage and let them decide. All right, coming up after the break, a clip from Dana White that might have you surprised when it comes to George St. Pierre and potentially returning to the octagon as opposed to not returning to the octagon. And we'll also hear from the four guys, two in the co-main event, Carlos Condit and Tyron Woodley, and of course the two guys in the main event, Johnny Hendricks and Robbie Lawler. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. I'm coming to you from Dallas, Texas, the site of UFC 171. We're on Saturday night. The official end of the George St. Pierre era in the UFC welterweight division will come as a new champion will be crowned. I never thought I would hear this day, or I knew this day would eventually come. I just didn't think it would arrive in this manner. But a new champion will be crowned in the UFC's 170-pound division as Johnny Hendricks will take on Robbie Lawler, and that strap will be wrapped around one of their waists. Now, when George St. Pierre relinquished that title and handed that belt basically back to the Ultimate Fighting Championship, he never really said he retired. He wanted to step away, take some time away to deal with some issues, to deal with some problems. He needed a break and all the pressures with coming with being a world champion. And of course, I spoke to so many different guys and managers and Dana White and stuff like that over the time period of when he relinquished that title to get their thoughts on the matter. And of course, it gets to the point now where it's like, do you think George St. Pierre is going to come back? Do you not think he's going to come back? And if you watched our feature on Sportsnet.ca, the one that aired on Connected across all the regional networks, I maintain, and you see some of the guys that are basically saying that, yes, no, not sure, he doesn't have to come back. He should come back. If he doesn't want to come back, it's so wide open right now. And I maintain, based on my conversations with George St. Pierre and his camp, that unless things change, most specifically regarding drug testing in mixed martial arts, I don't think George St. Pierre will come back and compete in the octagon. I think he's made far enough money that he can stay away. There's nothing left that he has to do. People can say come back and fight Johnny Hendricks one more time to make sure that you did defeat him. If there's any doubt in anyone's mind, if you pick Johnny Hendricks or if you scored that fight for Johnny Hendricks or for George St. Pierre, let's have them fight one more time to determine who is the real winner and who the real welterweight champion in the world is. But I've said yes, that George St. Pierre will likely not come back, but I've also said we'll see what happens. We will see what happens when that belt is wrapped around someone else's waist. And when I say that belt, George may still think it's his belt. He may say it's not his belt, but there's a belief that that is George St. Pierre's belt. But when it gets wrapped around somebody else's waist, will that be the trigger, or at least the seed that is planted in George's head for him to say, you know what, I want to come back. I want to come back and solidify myself as the champion, especially if Johnny Hendricks wins or if Robbie Lawler wins. I have another opponent that I could take on. Will that be the trigger that brings George St. Pierre back? Now, most people are undecided or sort of on the fence when it comes to George St. Pierre returning. One guy who isn't is UFC President Dana White.
I don't look at it as the end of the GSP era. GSP didn't go away. He's not leaving forever. This thing has gotten very blown out of proportion. I hear so many stories about the thing that happened with me and GSP that are far from the truth. The reality is this. He had some personal problems that he wanted to deal with. He's dealing with them. When those problems are dealt with, he'll be back.
So your gut instinct does tell you that he will be back?
Yeah, I'm very confident he will be back.
Very confident that George St. Pierre will be back. Well, it appears Dana White may know things that no one else knows in this industry, and that's kind of not surprising, to be honest with you. He is the promoter, and George St. Pierre technically is still employed by UFC President Dana White. But an interesting remark from the UFC president, the fact that he is very confident that George St. Pierre will come back to the octagon. It remains to be seen. We'll see what happens, but, the vast majority of people, and especially Dana White, let's face it, George St. Pierre is a walking ATM machine for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, and he unplugged that ATM machine the last time he competed in the Octagon. So it's in the best interest of Dana White and the Ultimate Fighting Championship, and let's face it, for the world of mixed martial arts, for George St. Pierre to come back. And can you imagine if George actually does come back? That pay-per-view would be absolutely huge, depending on the story itself, but it remains to be seen. In the meantime, this division is wide open. And we'll kick things off right now with the two guys in the co-main event and realize that, hey, we know Johnny Hendricks and Robbie Lawler will be competing on Saturday night. One of them will be crowned a winner. Now, despite any controversy in that fight, because if there's controversy, there will likely be a rematch. But if there isn't any controversy, either Carlos Condit or Tyron Woodley will take on the winner of Johnny Hendricks or Robbie Lawler. Had a chance to catch up with both of those guys, and we'll kick things off with Tyron Woodley, who knows he's very close to potentially getting a title shot.
Tyron, so close to Saturday night, yet so close to potentially getting a title shot. How do you keep that out of your mind and solely focus on Carlos Condit?
You know, that's just it. Keep it out of your mind. You know, really, I'm focusing on reassuring myself. Man, you've done the work. You've trained hard. You're prepared for this. This is your season. This is your time. And you're going to go out there and you're going to capitalize on the greatest fight of your life. And I think, you know, I'm blocking out all of the he said this and the internet says this and the odds say this and Carlos says this. And the fight speaks for itself. You know, we really don't have to pump this up. Me and Carlos can leave this room right now and then this fight's still going to be one of the most talked about fights probably for the rest of the year. And for me, it's just knowing that, embracing that, being comfortable, you know, going out there and knowing my opponent, knowing myself. And, you know, with that said, I shouldn't even be fearful at all because, you know, I'm comfortable with, you know, anywhere this fight goes.
The amount of excitement that you bring to the cage is can almost be unparalleled. I mean, but the fact of the matter is, do you purposely go out there and try and give an exciting fight, or is it just so natural? I'm thinking of the Koscheck fight where, you know, you're jumping off that back foot to land that right hand. It was just so beautiful and so artistic. That's something you do on purpose, or is it just natural?
A lot of those things that we train so many times, you know, hours and hours, you know, thousands of reps of doing the same thing, and we do that for the hope that we might react that way in the fight without even thinking about it. And I think God just blessed me with, you know, certain gifts, a certain mindset of work ethic, and I really just think that my life adversity has put me in this position. That's why my nickname is The Chosen One. I feel like God really chose me to be in the sport. You know, things that I had to overcome, you know, as a child, and, you know, wrestling, and, you know, that being one of the toughest sports in the world. You know, everything I've done has really built me for this moment, and I feel like, you know, just going out there and guys that bring that type of anxiety and bring that type of fire, they bring it out of me, and that's why I wanted to fight with Carlos, because he's never, to my knowledge, been in a fight that hasn't been really entertaining.
Well, that's the other side of the coin. There's a guy there that's across the hall from us right now mm-hmm. who doesn't go away. Whether it's 15 minutes, whether it's 25 minutes, he will not go away. Is it a situation where you're prepared not just, you know, to go for 15 minutes, but let me see if I can finish this guy early, because he has had that tendency that in the first 2 or 3 minutes to start off a little slow?
You know, and that guy, I'm probably going to go over and shake his hand and say good luck. And, you know, for me, it's not really I'm a fan of Carlos Condit. I like what he brings to the table. It's nothing personal. This is business. And then he's in a position that I want to be. I want to be the number one contender. And at this point, you know, it's through him, and that's all it is. You know, for me, it's always to go out there and send a message. You know, we're bullies out there. This is alpha male. You know, this is my cage. I'm going to show you from the first minute that I'm going to dictate the pace. I'm going to set the tone. And I think that I always go out there and I try to do that. And then sometimes that momentum just goes into the second and third round. For him, he does start off slower. And I think that's part of the reason why he wants 5-round fights, because, you know, he starts a little slower. And, you know, he think he can drag me in the water and drown me, but, you know, I'm in a different position in my life, in my mind, and I'm prepared for whatever happens on Saturday.
If you could define the perfect fight, because everyone's talking about Carlos Condit potentially getting the title shot with a victory over Tyron Woodley, it's almost like you have to make an extra statement to convince Dana White and Joe Silva that, no, I'm the guy that should get the title fight. What is your perfect fight on Saturday night?
Perfect fight is, you know, just really fighting my style. I think my style is exciting. I think what I bring to the table, the athleticism, the dedication, the look in my eyes when I walk out there, you know it's real, you know it's genuine, you know I'm really coming after you. The power, the wrestling, you know, and I haven't even really dwelled into other elements of my game that I'm very good at. So for me, it's really just focusing on doing what I do best. And if I do what I do best, I would never be in a boring fight in my life. And I think that, you know, that's what people fail to realize, that I possess things that he can't train for, things that he can't do in 6 to 8 week training camps. You can't match my speed. You can't match my power. You can't match my athleticism. And you can't go back and pick up 20 years of wrestling. You know, those are things that are just pure facts, no cockiness, no arrogance. It's pure facts, and it's something that he's going to have to deal with on Saturday.
You're taking the final question out of my mouth talking about wrestling, because you look at this main event. Everyone's talking about two knockout artists. I think wrestling is the key in this fight here. I know Johnny Hendricks, you know, Dana says he makes people skid across the octagon. Robbie Lawler's been knocking people out forever. I think wrestling is the key in this fight. I mean, you tell me about the main event. What goes through your mind?
You know, I think wrestling is the key to both fights. I agree with that. But the thing is, in my fight, I feel as if I'm superior to Carlos in the wrestling department. People are going to be very surprised on Saturday. Robbie's not the easiest guy to take down. And I don't know when it's coming out. I don't want to leak anything, give any extra buzz, because it's a teammate of mine. But I think people are in for a rude awakening if they don't realize that the dude can wrestle.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
There you have it. Tyron Woodley, very confident that Robbie Lawler will emerge victorious, or at least in so many words, that he will emerge victorious and become the new welterweight champion, but they happen to be teammates. So what happens if Tyron Woodley emerges victorious? Will these two actually fight for the title? I say yes. I don't know that they have a very close relationship or friendship other than the fact that they're training partners. So it wouldn't surprise me if these two guys actually competed against one another. But right now, Tyron Woodley, like he said at the beginning of the interview, has to focus on Carlos Condit, who was at one time the UFC welterweight champion and had a chance to catch up with the natural born killer.
Carlos, I don't know how many times we've done this in the past, but this one seems to me you are so close, yet you're so far. You've got to win another fight to get back to where you once held that title. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I got a really tough opponent in front of me, and you know, he's standing between me and getting that title shot. So, you know, I am two fights away, but you know, first things first, I got to take care of business on Saturday.
You take a look at a guy like Tyron Woodley, who is so explosive at any one point in the fight. Excuse me, and the way he lands that right hand, especially against Koscheck, how he punches off that back foot. How dangerous is he right off the bat when you touch gloves? Like, you've got to be ready for this guy, or do you kind of want to play it out and get him out there to the second and third round?
Anything can really happen in a fight. But yeah, he's definitely super, super explosive and super dangerous right off the bat. I'm sure that he's ready to come out and fight, you know, bell to bell all three rounds. So I just got to be on my A game, no matter what.
What's training camp been like preparing for a guy like him?
We've been doing a lot of the same things that we had been doing. We've just kind of, you know, focused on definitely the wrestling, definitely the striking, put some techniques on the back burner for now not worked or put me in a bad position maybe to get taken down in the past. I feel really confident in my preparation for the fight.
A lot of guys will always tell me that they're never happy with their level of mixed martial arts. I can always get better. And the one thing you've always told me and told the world is wrestling. I got to get better at wrestling. I got to get better at wrestling. How do you feel about your wrestling right now?
I feel pretty good. It's still got a ways to go. I think everything. I mean, I'd like to be a better striker, better jiu-jitsu guy, everything. Like you said, I want to improve on everything. But I think that the wrestling has it's come a long way in a short period of time. I'm excited to go out there and display those skills and incorporate those into my overall game on Saturday.
Every Carlos Condit fight's pretty much a perfect fight, in my opinion. They're just beautiful to watch because you've got so much heart and so much passion, and you know, you're the natural born killer for a reason. But do you have a perfect fight on Saturday night?
Perfect fight ends with, you know, with me with my hand raised and Tyron Woodley being attended to by his corner man in the back.
Main event, Johnny Hendricks, guy you've competed against, and of course, ruthless Robbie Lawler. How do you see that fight potentially unfolding?
I think both guys need to go out swinging for the fences. Maybe not right off the bat. You know, they're both technical. Guys with a lot of poise and some experience under their belt. But I think, you know, after they break the ice, they're going to be throwing down. I see it. You know, they both got good wrestling skills, but I see a stand-up battle.
Thank you, as always, for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Carlos Condit taking on Tyron Woodley in the co-main event for UFC 171, with the victor likely taking on the winner in the main event between Robbie Lawler and Johnny Hendricks. And let's get right to it. Let's get to the two guys in the main event. My first conversation with the challenger. Well, I shouldn't say the challenger. I mean, maybe that's that little thing inside me because I scored Johnny Hendricks victorious over George St. Pierre. It's like Johnny in my head is the uncrowned champion. But let's say they're both challengers. I hope that's fair to say. All right, let's get right to it. Ruthless Robbie Lawler, his thoughts on getting to the point where a while ago, I remember this guy being so young, and I've known Robbie for a very long time, and now he's such a mature individual, and he's fighting for a strap that was once held by one of his dearest friends, Matt Hughes, that was defeated by George St. Pierre, and I'm sure Robbie would really have liked to have defeated George St. Pierre, but it remains to be seen if that fight will ever take place, if George ever comes back, and that's one of the guys that George would be enticed to take on should he emerge victorious. But Robbie Lawler's taking on Johnny Hendricks on Saturday night for the belt. Here's my conversation with ruthless Robbie Lawler.
Robbie, obviously the first time I met you was in the early 2000s when Jeremy Horn and the likes of Matt Hughes were up in Canada representing, you know, Pat Miletich back then. You were a young guy, and I'm so impressed with how you've come out publicly and said, I've evolved. I'm ready for this right now. What have you done over the years to get this experience and say, now I'm ready?
I just fought a lot, obviously, worked on my skills, but I think just embracing all aspects of MMA, not just the fighting. You have to do the media, you have to do the PR stuff. It's just part of the game, and just embracing it, and then being a true professional.
Do you now have young guys coming up to you and say, Robbie, can you give me some advice on how to get to your level?
Guys ask me questions, and I help out if I can.
Of course, the fight on Saturday night, UFC 171 main event for the vacant welterweight title. A new era is about to begin in the UFC's welterweight division. And you're taking on a guy that many people consider, like Dana White has said it, he makes people skid across the octagon. But you've been knocking out guys for years. Is that how the fight's really going to unfold? The first guy that hits the other guy? Is there wrestling going to be involved? I mean, a fight's a fight, but how do you think it unfolds?
This is MMA. Anything can happen. I mean, he throws kicks, I throw kicks. He throws knees, I throw knees. He wrestles, I can wrestle a little bit. So I'm not necessarily worried too much about what he's going to do. I'm going to implement my game plan and look to finish.
What's the mindset of a professional mixed martial artist when he steps into a cage versus another guy that does have knockout power? You've been there with Melvin Manouf and so many other guys that have that power. What is your mindset? Is it all about timing? Is it all about, you know what, bite down on the mouthpiece and the first guy that lands wins?
No. It's all about skill. It's all about not getting hit, and it's about hitting him. So I'm not going to just bite down and dig in unless I'm forced to do that. So I'm going to use skills, I'm going to use techniques, and I'm going to be smart out there, and I'm looking forward to putting on a show.
Am I silly in asking you what your perfect fight is on Saturday night?
A perfect fight is getting a W. Doesn't matter how. I'm excited. Shorter the better, though, obviously, but I'm ready to go 25, and I'm ready to fight, and it's going to be exciting.
What will the world look like on Sunday morning when Robbie Lawler is the champion of the world and has begun the next era in the welterweight division?
Oh, man, sky's the limit. I mean, it's going to be a new world, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yep, thank you very much.
There you have it, ruthless Robbie Lawler. Let's waste no time. Let's get right to his opponent, the big rig, Johnny Hendricks.
Here with the man who's caused a lot of flack for me up in Canada when I said that he defeated George St. Pierre by the narrowest of margins in that first fight. As a Canadian, I had to say it, I was honest, but you look back at that fight, it's now in the past. You are fighting for the title again. Did you think it would actually happen in this manner?
No, I didn't. You know, I know Dana White said that I was going to get another shot, hopefully a rematch, but, you know, it turned out to be better. You know, he called me, and I was so amazed that he called me, and he told me I totally forgot to call anybody else. You know, I was like sort of in shock, you know, very humbling that they even offered it for me to fight here. And, you know, look at the card, it's stacked, you know. So again, it's very, very, very humbling that Dana White and the UFC decided to give me another shot.
You take a look at competing in Dallas, so close to home. Is there more pressure competing here than anywhere else on the planet?
No. You know, realistically, you can put pressure however you want to, you know. Every day is a pressured life, you know. You know, just for your cameraman, the UFC, and an average person, you can put pressure. Or you can just say, you know what, go with the flow. I'm staying in the hotel just like a normal fight. I'm getting drove around with the UFC just like a normal fight. So there's nothing different.
And speaking of going with the flow, you're taking the next question almost out of my mouth. You take a look at the fact that people are concentrating on this main event between you and Robbie Lawler as two guys that can knock people out. Dana says Johnny Hendricks makes people skid across the octagon. Well, Robbie Lawler's been knocking people out his whole career. I maintain that to go with the flow, wrestling is extremely important in this fight. What do you think of his takedowns and his takedown defense as an opponent?
I think he has been able to stop Josh Koscheck, you know, which is good. He wasn't able to stop Roy McDonald's takedowns, and I don't think he really tried to take him down that much. You know, I think he tried to do more grappling style to get his reversals. But you know, those are things that I gotta, you know, that you gotta weigh out. You know, I let my body flow. I let it. Whenever I go out there, I have multiple game plans. And I sit there and say, okay, this isn't working. Okay, adapt. You know, adapt to this. Adapt, adapt, adapt. So I'm never panicked, because there's sometimes if you go out there and say, all right, I'm going to do this, this, and this, he stopped it. Oh, what do I do now? You know, and so those are important things that you got to really focus on.
I take nothing away from Robbie Lawler. Please, I'm not trying to disrespect him. Would you have rather have had that rematch with George to get that belt? Because that's what you want. You want the belt. You don't care about George.
Yeah.
You want the belt. Would you have rather have gotten the belt defeating George, or at this point, no, it doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't matter. You know, realistically, I just want the belt. You know, George has done amazing things for this, for the MMA and the 170 class. You know, he sort of brought it on the map, made it more exciting than some of the heavyweights. You know, and that's awesome. So hopefully, what I'm going to try to do is feed off that and try to develop even bigger.
Sunday morning, when we all wake up, there's going to be a new era in the UFC's welterweight division. It's either Johnny Hendricks or it's Robbie Lawler. But what would the world look like on Sunday morning when Johnny Hendricks is the new undisputed UFC welterweight champion of the world?
Armageddon might happen. No, you know, realistically, I don't know what it's going to look like. If that happens, I'm going to enjoy it for, I don't know, I'll give myself a couple of days to enjoy the belt, and then I'm going to stash it and forget about it, you know, move forward. That's the way I've always done it, give myself 4 or 5 days to reflect on the fight, reflect on how I did, and if it's a win, then move forward like that, and then say, okay, that happened, everything else doesn't matter because I'm going to have to do it again.
If you do emerge victorious and that belt gets into the Hendricks household, will there be a mini tournament with the girls?
I hope not. They already have tournaments. You know, they always fight. And what's bad is that my youngest one, she's the one that's like, she'll sit there and she'll get hit on the head and she'll be like, ow! And then she'll walk away and she'll come back like a sword or something. Like we got a little a plastic pirate sword for her when we went to Disney World, and she'll literally walk around, she'll look, and then she'll go, my daughter will not be paying attention, bam, and she's like, oh, I'm like, you know, you really can't get mad because she's younger and she started it, the older one started it, and the younger one just finished it.
So it's safe to say that if you do emerge victorious, you've already got to defend the title on Sunday or Monday.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to probably beat up my middle one, Adley. She's an honorary one, but Avery will walk up to you too and punch you for no reason. So they're tough little ones.
As always, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thank you.
There you have it. Johnny Hendricks, special thanks to the Big Rig, to Robbie Lawler, to Carlos Condit, Tyron Woodley, Dana White, Jake Shields, Hector Lombard, Diego Sanchez, and Miles Jury. Don't forget, weigh-ins are tomorrow from the Airlines Arena in Dallas, Texas. And of course, on Sportsnet 360, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, the prelims, 2 hours of prelims, followed by the pay-per-view. You're listening to UFC Central from Dallas, Texas, on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
This fire in the sky.